This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Well, the election is over, but the race for the highest office in this state is still in limbo. Attorney General Roy Cooper leads the vote count, but Governor Pat McCrory says we have to wait for the results of provisional ballots. County boards of elections meet this week. They're expected to have a final canvass tomorrow. Then the results go to the State Board of Elections. WNC Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff DeBeery has the latest and joins me now. Welcome back, Jeff.
Hello, Frank.
Okay, so what is the latest? Highest office in the state, still in limbo. What's happened?
A whole lot has happened. At this point, Governor-elect Cooper, whether or not we can say that, Governor-elect Cooper, Democratic candidate Cooper leads by about, he leads by 4,795 votes. That's according to the State Board of Elections. That lead, that advantage, is considered to be 5,785 votes by Cooper's campaign. That is including some of the absentee ballots that have come in since Election Day. In the process now, we're working through absentee ballots. Also, provisional ballots. There are about 60,000 of these across the state. They're being counted by county boards of elections over the next couple of days. We expect about half of those to be thrown out. If history is an indicator, provisional ballots will not swing a 5,000-vote lead from Democrat to Republican. But, of course, we've seen some strange things
recently. All right, first things first, provisional ballot is what?
A provisional ballot is something that a voter will cast when there is an issue or when there are questions about eligibility. If you are not registered or if it's not believed you're registered, you're not on the rolls, you show up to the wrong precinct. For example, if you've been living in Forsyth County, you move to Durham County, and you show up to vote, there is a question about whether or not you're going to be voting in the appropriate races. Statewide races are one thing, but of course, legislative races, local judicial races, water and soil races are things that you might be voting, you can only vote for in a specific area. So those are provisional ballots. Again, about half of them will be tossed, we expect, based on history. Provisional ballots tend to lean Democratic slightly or mirror how the electorate as a whole voted during the general election.
And about how many provisional ballots do we think are out there, or do we know?
58,000, and maybe 30,000 of those will count.
All right, so we've got that. And how do they get counted?
They get counted by local boards of election, and those county board of elections are all made up of three people, two of whom are gubernatorial appointees. So all of the county boards across the state have a 2-1 Republican split as decided by Governor McCrory. Those folks will choose, not choose, they'll work through these ballots and say, okay, you know, Frank Stacio, you know, this is why this ballot should count or shouldn't count. And they will are expected to certify these results by the end of the day tomorrow. If counties are not ready to do that, they can ask for an extension, but county certification should take place tomorrow.
All right, that's the county certification, but we still won't know the answer then, will we?
No. If 100 counties certify tomorrow, that makes this, one would think, a little bit closer to being finalized. The state also will try to certify the results, and that is expected to happen. November 29th is the state's deadline.
Can we expect to know what the counties found by the end of business tomorrow?
I think we can expect to find the vast majority of counties. Best case scenario would be all 100. And then we'll have a tally in terms of, you know, what the advantage is for most likely Cooper, or in theory, McCrory could pick up thousands of votes tomorrow. Based on all the folks I've talked to, even the McCrory camp hasn't said, you know, we're going to be leading on Friday. Nobody has said that. So that's yes.
What happened in Durham County? That's an interesting case all by itself.
It is an interesting case. There was a computer glitch, and that affected how ballots were counted on Election Day. And the synopsis of that is that Governor McCrory was leading candidate Cooper by 50,000 or so votes well after 11 o'clock on election night. And finally, the full count came in from Durham County, and it swung this election. You know, the governor and his camp have pointed to some impropriety, perhaps to some scandal or something going on in Durham, which, of course, they're entitled to do. They want all of the provisional ballots to be cast. But at this point, there's no indication or there's no evidence that we've seen that something widespread and fraudulent happened in Durham. There was a computer glitch, but once all of the votes were tabulated, the votes that were tabulated late versus the early votes, they're all pretty consistent in terms of Cooper beating McCrory by about a 3-1 margin.
And how? What's the process for determining whether or not, or vetting the governor's complaint here? What happens in Durham County, and when is that case finally resolved?
That's that would depend on how far the governor's camp want to push it. They could go to court on this. They could, yeah. I mean, there could be lawsuits, real, frivolous, perceived, significant. What happens in the courts is a big question mark that's looming at this point.
Meanwhile, the governor has filed and his team have filed election protests in 12 counties.
Durham being one of them. Another being Bladen County. Bladen County, where there were reportedly 167 write-in absentee ballots that were cast. A couple of people obtained a number of ballots and cast them. It appears, at least initially, that these are part of an effort to help a write-in candidate for a soil and water seat. Now, this isn't to say that's serious. That's a problem. That's, I believe, a felony, and that should be dealt with. That doesn't point to widespread fraud across the state. And there are 4.5 million people that voted. We're talking about 167 ballots in Bladen County. The governor's camp has filed or is in the process of filing protests for a dozen counties. So,
and do we know what those protests
are? We do not. I've asked his camp and I've asked the State Board of Elections, and it's unclear why they filed those.
It's calling into question the whole democratic process here. You spoke with a political science professor, Chris Cooper, at Western Carolina University, no relation to Roy Cooper, and you asked him about this strategy of the governor to kind of hold up the election results.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a Hail Mary. I mean, and sometimes Hail Marys are received and win the ball game. But this, make no mistake, this is a Hail Mary. This is, I think, McCrory's camp trying to use everything they can to give themselves the best chance of winning this election and holding on to the governor's mansion in North Carolina.
And he says there is no evidence of widespread voter fraud in North Carolina or in any state in this country, based on what the researchers have looked at for decades.
All right, so we're talking about counting provisional ballots. Those are the ones that were held aside because there was some question about whether your fitness for voting in that place. That's one. A little look at absentee ballots in one county. Challenges to other counties, we don't even know what they are. And then there could possibly be a recount statewide. That's a whole separate issue, right?
Yes. If the margin after certification comes in at less than 10,000 votes, whoever is trailing can ask for a recount. Again, this is a step in the process, and it can be used, leveraged, wedged to make it seem like, hey, you know, there's something bigger going on here. This was close, right? This was a really close race. At this point, we have not seen missing ballots emerge as we have in other areas of the state years ago. We are unaware of, at this point, there are no contested ballots. So it's a close margin, but at this point, yeah.
No missing ballots, but there is a question about missing registrations issued.
Right,
people
right.
who registered at the DMV, of course, controlled by the state, the DMV, some of those went missing.
This already went to federal court, and an injunction was granted by a federal judge named Loretta Biggs. It's not clear how many people registered at the DMV whose registrations were not then turned over to local state board of elections. It could be as few as 500. Could be as many as 36,000. Yeah. And that's a question, again, I posed to everybody. I don't know if anybody has that firm answer yet. We don't know if it was a glitch. We don't know if it was purposeful. We don't know if it was leaning against minorities or Republicans. We just don't know. But that is an interesting development in all of this. And that's something that voting rights folks are keeping a particularly close eye on. I don't know if they have a complete understanding of who these folks are or not, but if they are able to, pull people's names out or understand that, oh, so-and-so registered to vote, that registration was not communicated to the local board, they cast a provisional ballot, and that provisional ballot is not going to be counted, you can expect lawsuits from the other side over that if that plays out.
And you would hope that if the DMV for some reason didn't get it recorded, these registrations recorded, that there is some record somewhere so that you could match the fact that you went to the DMV with your provisional ballot and say, well, I was there. I'm not sure how you didn't get it to the state. If there's no record of it at all, of course, those might be lost. So that is still up in the air. And in other political news, there have been some rumors about a change with the state Supreme Court. And we know that the balance of power has shifted in favor of the Democrats after this election. But there's some rumors about efforts by Republicans to change even that.
There are a lot of rumors percolating and circulating in Raleigh at this point. The short of it is that lawmakers are likely, we think, to go back in for a special session in December to deal with funding and relief following Hurricane Matthew, and also dealing with the wildfires out in western North Carolina. And the rumor at this point is that state lawmakers would also at the same time change the state constitution to expand the state Supreme Court from 7 to 9 justices. And Governor McCrory would then appoint the 8th and the 9th justice. Those folks would then have to be elected down the road. But if you expand the court immediately, oh, we have a 9-member court, but only 7 justices, the governor would, in theory, implement those folks. A Republican lawmaker has confirmed to me that there have been conversations about this. There have been discussions. Now, whether or not this is, you know, these are legitimate conversations and there's a plan for this, or if this is just rumor and innuendo, it's not clear at this point. We should note that over the last couple of years, there have been times in terms of when things have moved through very quickly at the General Assembly, process has moved through very quickly. Transparency has been low, and people, Republicans, have been upset about the lack of transparency, the lack of vetting. So I think there would be some Republicans that might be opposed to this. It's unclear if the votes are on the table.
Another effort to push things through in a special session without a lot of public scrutiny.
Yes.
Would this require a change to the Constitution, or does the Constitution already allow for this, and they would simply be expanding to what is constitutionally permissible at the moment?
The latter. The Constitution allows the General Assembly to expand the High Court here in North Carolina from 7 to 9 seats.
But again, it would be a question. You're saying that some Republicans have already been a little bit upset about the lack of transparency in some of the other things in special sessions. So we'll have to wait and see. Jeff, always a pleasure. Jeff DeBerry, WNC Capital Bureau Chief.
Thank you so much.
Just ahead, we're going to talk about the university system's flagship institution, UNC Chapel Hill. They made some changes to their sexual assault policies. Have those changes helped? We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.